Yay, now we're live everywhere. I'm Kathy Gordon. I'm a certified instructor of hand-in-hand parenting and bring you this webinar on how to stop yelling. So excited that everyone is here today for this very important topic. So a little bit about me, how I became a mom and how I came to hand-in-hand. I'm the single adoptive mom of a 16-year-old. He was born here in Los Angeles where we live, and he was placed with me when he was 10 days old. So I am the only mom he knows. Hi, Alice. I see you've raised your hand. I'm going to talk for a little bit here about our ideas about, you know, how we can stop yelling, how we can handle in our own big feelings. And then I'll have some time for some questions. So I'm so glad that you all are here. So I became a mom late in life. I was 47 when my son was placed with me. And it was one of those things where I just really had a burning desire to be a mom. And so I decided to adopt. One of the reasons that this topic is near and dear to my heart is that I was raised in a household with a rager. My dad was a rager and a screamer. And, you know, you kind of walked on eggshells around him. And I'm the oldest of seven kids. So I really, it's almost like my brain became wired for that's how you handle stress. That's how you handle stress, is that you yell to release that stress. So in my 20s and 30s and 40s, I really worked hard on this and worked on, you know, finding ways to lower my stress level, to stay more emotionally regulated. But as all of you parents know, once you become a parent, it's a game changer. And suddenly all of the things that you did for your own self-care, a lot of that goes right out the window. And you've got this new being or beings that won't do what you say when you tell them to do it. So to go back a little bit to my background. So I was 47 when my son was placed with me, and I knew I wanted to be a loving, unconditional, gentle parent. I read Alfie Kohn's book, Unconditional Parenting. My son really started having big tantrums and big feelings around two or three. And, it was just me here in Los Angeles. So I didn't have a lot of other people to know, is this normal, is this not? And I was really struggling. So I actually took a class in nonviolent parenting and then went on to become a certified instructor of nonviolent parenting here in Los Angeles, in a local group here in Los Angeles. But I was still really struggling. And then I was on Larry Cohen's website. He was offering a free consultation with Hand in Hand, and I thought, well, that's probably gone. But I emailed him, and he said, no. So I ended up having a half-hour consultation with Patty, because Patty answered the phone, which wouldn't happen today, as big as we've grown. The thing I was really struggling with was bedtime. So Patty, she changed our bedtime. She really helped me see that bedtime was separation. I put a lot of connection and play into our bedtime. And bedtime was when I would lose it, right? Because, you know, you've got this routine, like, you know, two books, lights out, like get with the program. And every night my son would have a tantrum and I would lose it. So Patty really helped me change my bedtime, my parenting, my relationship with my son, our lives really, because then I went on to become a hand-in-hand instructor. So that's a little bit about me. So let's talk about this idea of why we lose it. If all of the wonderful announcements that went out around this this webinar all mentioned that it's really that sense of powerlessness that that gets triggered when we're wanting our children to do something, when we're under tremendous amount of stress to, you know, get out of the house, to keep the house clean, to get our kids fed, to, you know, to get some kind of cooperation, just to be able to breathe, right? So that's really where I'm going to start today. And I'm going to talk about this sense of powerlessness. And if there's anything you take away, so we're going to talk about what you can do in the moment, how you can empower your children to not to be responsible for your feelings, but you want to create a culture of helping in your family. So how you can empower your children. We're going to talk about some specific things you can do, particularly around play, because play is something you can do in that moment when you feel powerless. We're going to talk about being the chief emotional officer of your family. And I call that being the CEO of your family. And so looking at your schedule, your flow of your day, the flow of your week, big picture, and looking at where the hard parts are, where the hard transitions are, where you get triggered, where your kids get triggered. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. And then we're going to dive deep into this idea that powerlessness that comes from our own childhood hurts. And so ultimately, the cure, if you will, for being a calm, patient parent, the big picture, the ultimate, the what's the word I'm looking for? Like just the, you know, the long-term solution of being a calm patient, being the parent that you want to be. I mean, you've come to Hand in Hand because you want to parent in a compassionate, connected, gentle way. Maybe it's very different from the way you were parented. So you've come to Hand in Hand for that reason. And so the long-term solution really is for us to do the work to heal our childhood hurts and those messages that we got, because we all got them in one way or another, that we're not good enough, that we're not smart enough, that we can't figure this out. So so that's the kind of the lay of what I'm gonna talk about today. And if I have time for some questions, I'd love some. If I don't have time for questions, one thing I forgot to tell you, one place you can find me is in the Parent Club. Hand in Hand has this amazing Parent Club, and I'm the co-moderator. And that is a place where you can ask me questions, along with my co-moderators, Emily Gray Murray and Stephanie Parker, on a daily basis. We are there to coach you through this whole process of using the Hand in Hand tools, mastering them, and in particular, doing the work to heal our own childhood hurts. So that's where you can always find me. So the video doesn't seem to be working. Julie, we're getting a message that the video doesn't seem to be working. Is it just me? Oh yeah, somebody says it's working for me. Thank you, Louie, and I'm sorry. Julie says that I'm being supported here by our wonderful Director of Communications, Julianne Eidelman. Thank you, Julie. Thank you for being here. I don't know, Julie, if you have any suggestions, but sometimes closing your browser and reopening it and signing back on might help. So Julie's gonna, okay. All right, so let's dive in. Take a little sip of tea. So what to do in the moment? One of the things to realize is that, I'm gonna talk just a minute or two about the brain. And some of you may have already heard this because it's Dr. Dan Siegel's wonderful hand model, you know, where he talks about that we've got our alarm center here, we've got our limbic system, our emotional processing's here, and we've got our prefrontal cortex, the thinking, reasoning part of our brain here. So one of the things to understand is that when we get triggered, when we feel that sense of powerlessness, when we start to lose it, there is little to no connection to the thinking, reasoning part of our brain, right? It's this emotional processing center, particularly like our fear response and our alarm center that are, they've hijacked the brain, right? And then just let you know why we're gonna talk in depth towards the end about healing our childhood hurts is because here in the limbic system, those memories are stored. And Dan Siegel in his book, Parenting from the Inside Out, does a wonderful job of explaining in a way those of us who are not neuroscientists can understand that when these old childhood hurts get triggered, it's as if our body responds neurologically, as if we were back in those moments when we were being told that we weren't good enough or our own parents were raging. So it's a neurological response to stress, right? So some things that you can do in the moment, and our favorite is to lay down. And I know that sounds counterintuitive, right? You're trying to get out the door and, you know, your kids are, you know, not getting their shoes and they're fighting over a toy. Because you have no access to the thinking part of your brain, if you lay down, then the brain has the chance to reintegrate, and then you can think, right? And then you can think, and then you can get playful with their, you know, so you start to put their shoes on their ears, if they're not getting dressed in the morning, one of my favorites is that, you know, you put their underwear on your head or you put their underwear on their head and you get some laughter going, because laughter is gonna, all of this inability to cooperate all comes from this place of disconnection. And you're disconnected. You're definitely disconnected from the thinking part of your brain. You've been catapulted back into your childhood. Your kids are disconnected. So if you lay down, that's gonna give your brain a chance to reintegrate. And then that's gonna, as you're breathing there for a minute and a half, you can think, okay, so how can I provide some connection here? How can I get some laughter going so that we're all connected and then we get more cooperation? Yeah? So that's the first one. So, and a sensory nature, like going in the bathroom and splashing water in your face, drinking water upside down. You know, that kind of thing that people do when you have the hiccups, you're trying to drink from the opposite part of the cup, you know, anything sensory like that, you know, put on some music and start a dance party. Anything that's going to get your, that's going to feed your senses, and then it's going to help calm this part of the brain, and then your brain's going to reintegrate and you're going to be able to think better. So those are some things that you can do in the moment. Anything of a sensory nature. And, towards the end, we're going to talk in depth about our parent-to-parent tool listening partnerships. But something you can do in the moment is that you can call your listening partner. And even if they're not there, you get their voicemail, you can, you know, vent for a minute and a half into their voicemail. That feeling of being heard, just like with our kids, the reason we listen to our kids is that when they feel heard, when they have a chance to release the tension that's driving their off-track behavior, and they sense your warm presence, and then they feel connected, they feel your connection, they feel your signal, then they can, their brain comes back into integration. The same thing, you know, if you, with your listening partner, in fact, so I'll move into empowering your kids. One thing that one mom did was that she put on the refrigerator a list of like two or three, four friends or listening partners. And she had her daughter rehearse, like they did it playfully, like, oh, mommy's upset, please call Julie. So then her daughter, who was, old enough to dial the phone, I don't know, you know, these days you just put everybody on speed dial. And she called her mom's friend and said, mommy needs to talk to you. So that's a way that you can empower your kids. All these things I'm going to tell you about empowering your kids, I highly recommend that you rehearse. And you rehearse them melodramatically and, you know, kind of over the top, so that so that you get a lot of laughter going, so that in the moment you're upset, you know, we schools have a fire drills, or maybe even in your house you have a fire drill. You can call this like an emotional fire drill. So you rehearse it, you rehearse it having a lot of fun, and then so that in the moment, you know, your kids are like, oh, okay, mommy needs help, or daddy needs help. So the ways you can empower them is that list of friends on speed dial that's on the fridge. You can make signs that say, I love you. Now, can you imagine, you know, you're frustrated, you're about to lose it, and your kid holds up this sign that says, I love you. You can also do is, this is an in the moment thing, but this is something that you're gonna wanna rehearse with your kids so that they don't get scared when you do it. So something you can do in the moment is that you can go and you can beat on your bed. You know, you can take pillows and whack the bed, or maybe you have one of those plastic bats and you whack the bed. So you're gonna wanna practice that ahead of time with the kids, and so that they can say, mommy, go hit the bed, daddy, go hit the bed. So again, you know, you rehearse this, you do this really, really fun, funny way. You know, maybe you go to hit the bed with the pillow, but you actually, as you rear back, you hit yourself in the face. So there's a lot of laughter around this rehearsal. So those are some things that you can do to empower your kids. Anyone who signed up for this webinar is gonna get a little manual. And in that manual are some of these ideas on how you can empower your kids. I mentioned being like putting on music, and again, you know, if these things become regular practices, the calling a friend, the I love you sign, the, you know, smacking the bed with a pillow, putting on music and having a wild dance party. If these become regular practices in your family, then your kids are gonna ask for them. And this is gonna be like, what happens is that, you know, you become a culture of, we help each other when we're in trouble. You know, mom and dad are here for you when you're having big feelings and you're having a hard time. And again, they're not responsible for your feelings, but you can empower them to ask for these things, to think of these things when they see that you start to get tight. So going back to this idea of laying down, taking a moment to splash water on your face, doing something sensory to help get you back into your body, to help reintegrate your brain, something that you can do in that moment of powerlessness when your child is saying no is to get playful. And it hand in hand, we see off-track behavior, we see that resistance, that refusal, as there's some tension, there's some disconnection, there's something in, again, in your child's limbic system that they're not accessing their reasoning part of their brain. And so one of the best ways to help their brain reintegrate is through connection and laughter. Laughter is the release of tension. And so so you can, in that moment of like, you can get playful. My co-moderator, Emily Gray Marie, she's just one of the masters of the Queen of Play. And what's really great, if you join the Parent Club and get to know Emily, is that she acknowledges that play was really hard for her. It was really hard for her when she has a 14-year-old and her daughter is six, and her second daughter, two girls. So when her 14-year-old was little, play was really hard for her. And she had to get a lot of listening time around why it was hard. It can be, for many of us, it can be hard because we grew up in a family where there was no play, where you know, it was very serious. And if you were playful or silly, you were put down. You were made to feel less than. You were reprimanded. I was very fortunate in that my mom was super silly. You know, she was always up for a game of hands, knees, and boopsie daisy, you know. She was just delightfully silly. And so that play and silliness comes naturally to me because I always feel like I'm channeling my mom. It may not come naturally to you. So to go back to Emily for a second, she's a great believer in when you are feeling tight and tense and when you want to yell at your kids, that you turn that into something playful in the sense that maybe you start yelling in gibberish. You know, so what that does is that releases your tension in a way that is playful. She's also a big fan of what we call mock threats. So, you know, mock threats are something like, you know, oh, if you don't put your shoes on right now, if we don't get out the door right now, I'm just going to let out the biggest fart. It's going to be so stinky and smelly. We're just going to have to, run out of the house. You know, so again, channeling your tension into a mock threat. Our affection games are sort of mock threats in the sense of, you know, if you don't put those shoes on right now, you're going to get 1,000 kisses. And then you start to, you know, you go towards them, lumbering towards them, and then you trip and you fall. We have a wonderful article on our website that I helped write, that it's 25 tips on how to become a more playful parent. And I'm a big fan of watching old videos, the old Dick Van Dyke, Lucille Ball, the original Three Stooges. I mean, they're wonderful examples of comedians who got people laughing by making fun of themselves. And this is really the core of our idea around play, is that we're not making fun of our kids, we're making fun of ourselves. And so, threatening and gibberish, singing out your, excuse me, just getting over cold, so my singing will be a little rusty, but, you know, singing out the, okay, it's time to leave the house, you know, like accents, you know, anything that will get your, you know, connect you, release your tension, and get the laughter going is a great way to channel your tension right into connection, right into play, getting laughter. And this is actually our tool called play listening. And the way I like to describe play listening is that you are playing with their refusal. Like, so you get, no, I'm not going to brush my teeth. So you play with that. Oh, okay, you're not going to brush your teeth, so we'll have to brush your nose. Oh, I think we need to brush your toes today. So once you get laughter going, that releases whatever tension that is causing their refusal. That is something that you can do. In that moment of powerlessness, you can't. Now, you may have to lay down first, and you may have to, go splash water on your face. You may have to call your listening partner. You may have to beat the bed with pillows before you can get to that playful place. But those of us that are practicing this and the parents that we work with, what we discover is that, you know, it's like anything. It's a play is a muscle. And the more you do it, the better you, the more easily it comes to you. It's almost like learning a new language. And then you just learn to think in that language. So that is something that you can do in that moment of powerlessness. Okay, so we've talked about some self-regulating tools you can use in the moment. We've talked about how you can empower your kids to remind you to use those self-regulating tools. And we've talked about what you can do is to be playful. So let's talk about being the CEO or chief emotional officer of your family. If you're a CEO of a business, one of your jobs is to look at the flow of the week, the flow of the day, how's productivity? How are your workers doing? What do they need? What do they need to be more productive? Oh, well, we need more staff meetings. Oh, we need more communication. Oh, we need more breaks. We need more team building exercises. So that's what the CEO of a company does. Hand in hand is all about supporting you to be the leader of your family and to think really well about what is best for your family. So one of the ways you can do that is you can look at the flow of your day. Where is it hard? And particularly, where is it hard for you? So we had a whole thread going in the parent club one day about what can you let go of? I'm going to tell you a little anecdote that Patty shares. It's pretty radical, right? So I'm not suggesting that any of you do it. In fact, I would have to get lots of listening time to do this. So there was a mom who, she had three boys. She's a single mom. She had to work like a whole bunch of hours to try to make ends meet. And so her boys were in not very great daycares for a lot of the time. And so as the boys got a little bit older, you know, she got a better job and she worked less hours. So she was able to spend more time with her boys. And now they're old enough to start helping around the house, right? Doing some chores, cleaning up after themselves. But it was always filled with tension, like just a lot of pushback, a lot of refusal. And what she realized was that all of those years in not great daycare had caused a lot of disconnection. And so she realized that the first thing that she needed to do was to really work on deepening her connection with her boys, nurturing their relationships, and before she started asking them to help out around the house. So that's what she did. She kept her room neat as a pin, but basically, you know, they ate on paper plates. They did laundry only when necessary. All the time that she was home, instead of cleaning the house, she spent with her boys. Pillow fights, sock fights, board games, video games, watching movies. Just really deepening their connection and gathering them back in after all those years of separation. And, you know, I'm not sure how long she had to do this before she was able to ask them to cooperate. But then gradually, they started just working together to keep their house clean and keep their house neat. And it was a very kind of organic, like, we're all in this together, you know, structure that they had in their family. So I'm not suggesting that you do that, but I do want you, as a CEO of your family, to think about, like, how you could make life easier for yourself so that you have more time to connect. Because when you look at the flow of your day, if you come in to get your kids up in the morning with snuggles and pillow fights and offering a few minutes of special time, if you have more than one kid, you have to be a little bit creative about that. But we've got an article for that one too, called 6 Ways to Do Special Time with More Than One Child. But if you come in the morning and offer connection, and also as the CEO of your family, you've done whatever you needed to do the night before so that you don't get that thing where, you know, you're busy making lunches, or you're busy trying to pack bags, or you're busy trying to, you know, get your own bag packed, especially if you've got have to get out the door and get to work. And so then your kids are disconnected in that time. And then now you start, you know, giving directives and kind of shouting orders. Okay, come on, let's go. We go. Come on, we gotta go. Get your shoes on, everybody. Come on. Let's get out. Get your book bags. You know, everybody, get your backpacks. Here. You know. So, excuse me. So you're not going to get cooperation without connection. So if you're the chief emotional officer of your family and you build in connection throughout the day, you have a connection plan. You do connection first thing in the morning because you've set it up that way. And then same thing, they come home from school, you pick them up from daycare, they're disconnected, you know, so you, you know, you have a little, you know, you have 1,000 kisses, got 1,000 kisses, I'm gonna give you 1,000 kisses, race to the car. You do a little bit of rough and tumble. You do a few minutes of special time when you pick them up at daycare before you say, okay, it's time to leave. You know, that connection before there's any directive is often going to get you more cooperation. And so, and again, part of being the chief emotional officer of your family is, what kind of support do you need? Leaders, good leaders, get good support. And I just wanna, for a second, I just wanna talk about, like, how unsupported we are as parents in the world today. Parenting is not valued. We used to parent in tribes, and then there was the whole tribe to nurture your child. If you needed rest, you know, if you had to work in the field, there was someone to take care and nurture your children. We don't have that anymore. So it's really important, and hand in hand, one of the things that we're most committed to is supporting parents and encouraging you to get support. That's why we started the Parent Club, because we wanted a platform, a community, a tribe where we could give parents support on a daily basis. part of being the CEO is, what kind of support do you need? Is there a preteen or a teen that could come in a few afternoons in the week so that you could give each of your kids special time, or, you know, so that you could get dinner ready? Can you swap play dates? And then the most important way we believe that you can get support is through our parent-to-parent support tool called Listening Partnerships. For anyone who's new to listing partnerships, I'll just give a brief little explanation, which is that a listing partnership is an exchange of listing time with another parent. It is a peer-to-peer relationship. So there are some guidelines. The mechanics of it are is that you're gonna get together. In person is awesome, but most of us do listening time these days, listening partnerships through phone or Skype, FaceTime, WhatsApp, Zoom, those kinds of, the Skype and Zoom and FaceTime are great because you can actually see your partner. And so you're going to get together. Let's say you're going to get together for half an hour. So you decide that each of you are going to do 12 minutes and one person is going to listen while the other person shares. What's really, really, really important about this relationship is that the listener is simply going to listen. And while they listen, they're going to hold the thought. They're going to hold this truth. You're good. Everybody you're talking about is good. You're going to figure this out. So this is a very different kind of listening than what we do in ordinary, ordinary dialogues. In ordinary dialogues, we're listening for, we're often listening for, what things do we have in common and how can I help, right? So, our friend is sharing about something that's going on with them and we're thinking, oh, I have the same thing going on, and here's what worked for me. So that's something we have in common and how can I help? Listening partnership is a very, very different kind of listening. In fact, I often tell parents that you're actually not talking to your partner, you're talking into the space while they are holding the truth that you're good, everybody you're talking about is good and you're gonna figure it out. So you're talking into this space and the first thing that you get to do is that you just get to vent and complain about your kids, your partner, your coworker, your parents, right? You just get to dump that into the space while your partner is holding the truth that you're good and everybody you're talking about is good. They're doing the very best they can while you're just dumping. So that's the first thing that you get to do. As you do that, what we encourage you to do is then look and, let me back up for a second and say that the value of that is you get to say all those things in listening time that you don't want to say to your kids or you don't want to say to your partner, right? You don't want to blast them. So you get to take it to listening time and you get to blast them there. and you can also, get playful. You can practice your mock threats and your playful dares of like, oh, I hope nobody takes my socks off. These are my favorite socks. You can practice those things in listening time. And then the deeper work of listening time is that as you are venting about the current situation, asking yourself, what's underneath this? What does this remind me of? Where does this powerlessness come from? It's working early and allowing stream of consciousness like pictures or memories or senses to bubble up. That is really the deep work. I think Patty explained it this way, and I think this will be helpful. So we have these experiences, right? These are the experiences that go here into our hippocampus, our emotional processing system. That's where they're stored in our limbic system, right? So there are these experiences here. And globbed onto the experiences are feelings, like the feelings that came up for us when we were yelled at as a kid, that fear, right? So in listening time, as you talk about those early memories and you allow yourself to laugh, cry, tremble, sweat, yawn, those are the five ways that we release the feelings, then what happens is that the feelings release from the experience. Now the experience is still there. That experience was. But in releasing the feelings, what happens is that you've healed the trigger. Like you've healed like the spiky part that sticks out of these feeling of the of this experience that you keep getting snagged on in the current, you know, like what Dan Siegel talks about, like when this experience gets triggered, it's really the feelings that are being triggered. And so then these feelings come up in the current moment as if we were back in that moment when we were yelled at when we were a little kid. So so when in listening time, when you work early, then you actually, again, you release the feelings, and then this experience is no longer so triggering. So I'll just share for myself that I've had to work, because I shared in the very beginning that my dad is a was a rager and a screamer. I mean, someone asked me one time, like, when did the temper tantrum stop? And I said, well, my dad was 82 at the time I was doing this talk. I said, well, my dad's 82, you know, and when he gets frustrated, you know, you can still see smoke coming out of his ears. So, you know, a dysregulated brain is a dysregulated brain, whether you're 2 or whether you're 82. So he certainly is, his temper tantrums have slowed down, but he still speaks in that, how could you be so stupid tone of voice? And he still sends me periodic emails telling me everything I'm doing wrong, right? So I've had to do a lot of work on this because, you know, I carry that around with me. And then when my son is refusing to do something I ask, or, you know, it's just, life is just gets really stressful, it's that those old hurts and there's feelings of powerlessness that are being triggered. So in my listening time, I've done a lot of yelling at my dad, telling him to stop. I've done a lot of crying about it, you know, a lot of mourning, feeling a lot of grief and sadness that I wasn't, that it wasn't safe with him, that I never felt good enough. And I've actually come to this point where I realized that my dad says those kinds of things, like someone would say to me, you're wearing a blue shirt. Like to him, those things are like no more, I don't know, significant than just telling somebody you're wearing a blue shirt. And so that realization has really helped me so that I, and the other thing I do in listening time is that I stand up for myself. And I tell the world, I am smart, I am brave, I do ninja kicks, you know, I pop people in the nose in listening time. I, you know, I stand up for myself and I counter those messages that I was given when I was a child. So the end of this story is that recently my dad sent me one of those emails, you know, just going off on something, a decision I had made and how wrong and stupid it was. And so it didn't throw me off the way it had in the past, but I sort of thought about it for a little bit. And I thought, you know, if he were capable, there's a different email that he would have sent. He's not capable. So I wrote him back and I said, Dad, here's the email you meant to send me. And it was just very like, I took everything he said and just put a positive spin on it. You know, his last words were something like, you know, don't expect a dime from me. And so I turned that around to say, you know, I'm not able to give you any financial help, but I wish you all the best. I know you'll figure this out. So that's the email I sent him back. So that's, and it was, you know, because in the past, what I would do is that my dad would send me one of those emails. It would rent space in my brain for weeks on like, arguing with him, right? All the emails that I was going to send him back on how he was wrong and that, you know, yada, yada, yada. In the meanwhile, how can I connect to my son when all of that stuff is running my brain? It's like Dan Siegel says, again, in that book, Parenting from the Inside Out, which is a great book to, he's more about journaling where we're about listening time. But still, it's a great book for understanding how our childhood affects our are processing in the moment. He says, you know, we think we're listening to our kids, but actually we've got so much noise going on in our head. So especially when something like that happens to you, where, you know, you have a run-in with a family member and they, you know, they go off on you or they send you a nasty email, then like, how can you connect to your kid when, you know, that's what's running your brain? When you've got all that, like, you know, arguing going on in your brain. So that's really what, how listening time is so valuable, because you come to listening time, you come to your partnership, you get to dump all that in the space, your partner. So here's some of the really important rules. The listener, no advice. No advice. Because remember, if you're holding this mantra in your head, you're good, you're, you know, about your partner, you're good, you're gonna, everyone you're talking about is good, you're gonna figure it out, you're not gonna be, your mind's not, you, it'll go right to that place of like, oh, how could I help? But then you bring it back to the, you know, the train station, like, it's almost like a meditation, you know, our thoughts go, our to-do list in meditation, we bring it back to the breath. Same thing with our mantra of you're good, everybody you're talking about is good, you're gonna figure it out. So no advice and no referring. So what that means is when your partner like dumps into the space, and then the timer goes off, all you're gonna do is ask them some little silly little question like, you know, name the seven dwarfs, make them up, you know, name the planets, what are three sports that you don't need a ball, you know, so you're gonna ask them some little silly little question that's gonna help them, because see, they've been working here, right? So you want them to be here so they can listen to you. So you're gonna ask them some little silly little question so their brain reintegrates, and then it's gonna be your time, right? And they're gonna listen. And here's the deal, when you start from your own place, so there's no referring. So if they were talking about their kids getting, you know, their parents being divorced, it made you think about your sister getting divorced or your divorce, you don't want to say, when you were talking about your parents getting divorced, that reminds me. You just want to start from your own place. Yeah? So then you dump. They ask you a silly little question. It's always good to start listening time with something that's going well and end listening time with maybe something that you're looking forward to. And the nice thing about that ritual is that it keeps you from chatting. It keeps your listening time sacred or safe, so that you don't start chatting, right? And then you set a time you're gonna meet next week, and then that's it. So that's our powerful tool of listening partnerships. See if there's anything else. So that's, I think that's my, idea on how you can, those are my ideas, or our ideas actually, the hand-in-hand ideas for how you can really work, and it is work. It is not easy. It is work, because our knee jerk when we are feeling powerless is to yell, is to power over. You know, I can remember when my son was small and I would get frustrated and I'd stop myself from yelling, but I literally would be like going through the Rolodex. And for those of, I don't know, maybe some of you are maybe too young to know what a Rolodex is, but it's a little round thing with cards that you put addresses, people's names and addresses on. Now we just put that on our phones. But you know, I'd be going through my list of how I could make my son do what I wanted. Do what I wanted him to do, right? So at least I wasn't yelling. But I still was feeling powerless. And so then again, you know, taking that moment to breathe, to lay down and think, okay, how can I connect? How can I be playful? What I want to tell you before I open up, see if I got time for a couple questions here, is that we are using this wonderful webinar and this idea of, oh, here's what I want to tell you. So I talked for a few minutes about how we don't have any support you know, there's very little support in our society for parenting. And I'm a huge believer in support. I've been self-employed all my adult life. I'm an actress. I do shiatsu body work. And as an actress, I've always put myself in support groups. So as a parent, it made perfect sense to me to be in some kind of support group. And that's really why we started the Parent Club, is to create that kind of support group for you. So we have this special offer just for the next few days. Oh, shoot, where's my special offer? Okay, all right, yes. So let me just tell you a little bit about the Parent Club. So the Parent Club has a private Facebook group for members only. We also have a website. Although most of our activity in our community does take place in our Facebook group. And in that Facebook group, you get daily coaching on these kinds of issues of how do I become a more peaceful parent? How do I get more cooperation in my family? How do I heal my childhood hurts? So you get daily coaching, because you can ask questions there. Myself and Emily Gray Murray and Stephanie Parker, who moderate. So we try to give you pretty much round the clock and get back to you within a couple hours. So it's almost on-demand coaching. We have regular live calls, webinars that are Q&As. Once a month, Patty does a webinar, our founder. So you get to connect with Patty, which is, you know, she's the brilliance that started all this, the wisdom that started all this. The person who changed my life, my parenting, my relationship with my son. So once a month you get to connect with Patty. And then there's at least three other events during the month. One will be a Q&A with an instructor. We've had one or two Q&As. Often we'll have a webinar. We're actually kicking off this month a play challenge, a play listening challenge. And Kirsten Nottelson, who's one of our senior instructors, and her motto is 10 minutes of play will change your whole day, is doing a special webinar on play, and particularly rough and tumble play, on January 16th at 11 a.m. Pacific. And then that kicks off our play listening challenge. Again, I talked about our tool of play listening, where you get to, you know, where you play with their refusal and listen for the laughter. That laughter releases tension. So we're doing this challenge for club members to help you all become more playful in 2020. So every day for 5 days, there'll be a challenge. Stephanie Parker is going to come on every day and give you some tips and some support and take questions. She'll come on in the Facebook group live. Then on the 21st, 11:30 Pacific, I'll do a Q&A. And then once a month, we always have a listening time call, which is a great way for you to learn about listening time, to get your feet wet, to jump in, because you're gonna get one-way listening time with an instructor. And our senior instructor, Anna Coles, is gonna do that on Monday the 20th at 1 p.m. Pacific in the afternoon. So we vary the times of our events, because we know we've got people all over the world. And then you also get in the Parent Club, you get our free self-guided video course, Setting Limits and Building Cooperation, which is an amazing way to systematically work through our tools, and particularly with the focus on setting limits and building cooperation. And Patty, it leads you through that. In the club, members have gotten together in discussion groups to say, okay, we're going to watch this video this week, and then we're going to get together on WhatsApp and discuss it. So there's a lot of support and solidarity in the club. You also get 25% on all of our products, including our starter class. Which the starter class, again, it's a 6-week foundational class where you, and I'm, oh, actually the one I'm starting on the 15th is full. It's for parent club members only. So I'm going to be starting another one, probably the beginning of February, that will be in the evening Pacific time. And then we'll start another daytime one probably later in February or early March as well. So, you know, we really work to accommodate the members. But the Setting Limits class is 6 weeks. It's online. Patty talks you through each one of the tools. So you focus on one tool each week. So you're actually mastering the tools. And then you come to a support call with an instructor once a week where you get coaching and you get listening time. So again, that's a great way to build a foundation with using the tools and build a practice of listening time. So those are all come with the membership. For those of you who join now, and again, it's a very small window. It's the last time we're offering the class at $25 a month. You're going to get the set of hand-in-hand ebooks on how children's emotions work and play listening, crying, tantrums, reaching for your angry child, healing children's fears, plus our two bonus ebooks on setting limits and listening partnerships. You're going to get the free hand-in-hand family game cards. That's like 30 play ideas right at your fingertips. So you've got those cards, you can just pull a card. Say like, okay, like especially if you're laying on the floor, you pull a card, and you're like, oh, okay, here's an idea. You know, start a pillow fight. Yes, as I mentioned, you get 25% all our classes. Also, if you, our early bird sign-up bonus is that you're gonna get a free group coaching call with Emily or myself. Let's see, anything else I need to tell you. So that's all the exciting things that we have coming up in the club. And we're, you know, we just, the work that is being done in the hand-in-hand club, parent club is profound. Parents working on separation, not just separation from their kid, but sometimes separations from their partner. Parents really healing some deep childhood wounds. Parents changing the trajectory of the aggression that's happening in their house. So there's some really powerful work that's being done in that community with the support of all of the parents supporting each other, and as well as the instructors that are coaching you. So we do really hope you'll join. Anything else I want to say? I think, let's see. Ooh, sorry, I talked the whole time. Does anybody have a, so Julie put there in the comments how to join. And I guess I better wrap it up. I'm sorry I didn't get to any questions. As I said, you can always find me in the Parent Club or through the Hand in Hand website. And I really, I hope that this webinar today has been of value to you. I know that listening partnerships in particular has really transformed my ability to stay patient and calm in the face of the powerlessness that is inherent in relationships, and particularly in relationships with our children. So I really hope that I get more opportunities to work for you and to work with you, and that I will see you in the club. All right, thanks so much, everybody. Happy New Year. Do keep in touch with us. Do let us know how it's going. Do let us know, like, oh yeah, I laid down, and how it went, because we love hearing success stories as much as we love hearing your struggles. We are here for you when parenting gets hard. All right, bye-bye.